The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How should we share our faith with those involved with Lordship Salvation? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. If you have questions for Dr. Bob or any of the others, you can send us your questions through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's get right to today's interesting discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin, Sean Lazar, and Steve Elkins. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hey, welcome to the show. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And in the studio with us today is Steve Elkins. Thank you, Steve, for being here. Steve is one of our authors, and you can go to our website, our web store, to find his books on the Romans Road and on the Sermon on the Mount, Keys to Kingdom
Greatness.
So check out those books. We're talking about Lordship Salvation, and we've already covered several topics. We have said that Lordship Salvation basically changes the gospel and makes salvation depend upon works. We have gone over how that undermines assurance and makes it impossible to be assured that you're going to be saved. We've said, controversially, that if you are trusting your works to salvation, then that is not a saving message. You have not yet believed in Jesus for the salvation he promised. We've talked about how Lordship Salvation changes, redefines faith to include good works, and often adds repentance as a second condition of salvation, which is usually explicitly all about changing your behavior. Now the question is, well, how do we share our faith with Lordship Salvation people?
That's a great question, and I know we don't have time for a whole gospel training seminar here, but I would say first, prayer, 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 like with any kind of evangelism and like you would evangelize anybody else, dependence on the Spirit, being sensitive to Him. Ultimately, you're probably going to need to get to the question to someone that you're sharing your faith with, something like, what are the odds between 1 in 10 or 1 in 100 of whether, you know, if you died, if you'd go to heaven?
Yeah.
Even people that believe the gospel, they might say 90% because they want to be humble. They don't want to, you know, say 100% maybe. And so you've got an opportunity to then say, could I tell you how you could be 100% certain?
Right.
And then I usually just quote John 6:47 or something like that. But you'll need to do that, too, with maybe a sophisticated lordship person that's been in church all their life as well. I mean, Bob mentioned earlier to me, even lordship people who believe the gospel previously, the free grace message, John 3:16,
yeah,
and are saved, even though they've gotten hoodwinked by the false teaching and fallen into it and fallen away from the gospel, they need to be evangelized, too. Bob, do you want to say something about that?
Yeah, it seems to me that what happens is if we're talking to someone, whether their lordship salvation or some other even religion, you don't know whether it's possible this person has believed in the past. And if they have believed in the past, well, then they've lost assurance. They're not walking in a pleasing way to God because legalism does not produce the righteousness of God. The book of Galatians is all about that. It leads to biting and devouring one another. But also, there's a high possibility that this person you're talking to has never been born again. How would you know? Unless you know the person very well and you knew a time when they did believe that simply by faith they had everlasting life, it seems to me you need to evangelize this person. Because if they've never believed, well, then they're not yet born again. No matter how religious they are, even if they're a priest or a nun or a pastor of a megachurch or a seminary professor or a Bible college professor or a famous author or theologian, they still need to believe the promise of life.
So I can see someone saying, wait a second, guys, this is hard to do, just psychologically. It's easy, let's say, to go to Jehovah's Witness and think to yourself, I need to tell this person about everlasting life because for sure they're not saved. They believe in some weird stuff. I grew up definitely thinking I need to evangelize Catholics because they believe in Mary and the saints and they're depending upon all this stuff to be saved. And so they definitely need to hear the saving message. But I can imagine someone saying, are you telling me that I need to tell the people in my little Baptist church who've been Baptists for 60, 70 years, who believe in Jesus, who love the Bible, who try to serve him and do all these things? Are you telling me that I need to evangelize them? My grandparents were Pentecostals. They were missionaries to Bolivia. They loved, they were on fire for the Lord. Are you telling me I need to evangelize them? I could see someone saying that I just can't compute that. That's too psychologically hard to get over.
Yeah.
What would you say?
Paul tells the Romans that he's desiring to come visit them so that he can evangelize them, Roman believers. Of course, there he's talking about other elements in the gospel, like the power of God unto deliverance from the present wrath, et cetera, et cetera. But we need to keep preaching the gospel, not as a regular thing. You know, the Sunday morning sermon, in my opinion, should be about discipleship, but we should always be having the gospel.
And let's say you wanted to talk to someone from a Calvinistic perspective who held the Lordship salvation. Would you try to convince them that Jesus died on the cross?
No, I wouldn't have to do that.
Because they already believe that, right?
They believe that, yeah.
Okay, and you wouldn't try to convince them that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity.
Right.
And you wouldn't try to convince them that Jesus rose from the dead.
There's all that in common.
Yeah.
What you would probably do is the way Steve started, which, by the way, I find that great, whether the person's Assembly of God or Church of Christ or Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodox or a Calvinist, and say, are you certain that if you were to die, you would go to be with the Lord?
That's correct.
And if their answer is no, you can ask, if that was possible, would you like to know that? And then what they think is, you're just talking to them about assurance. But assurance is another name for belief.
That's right. Our good friend Chip Brunant was telling me he's trying to witness to this Catholic friend of his. And he says, you know, Joe, we believe so much in common. And he keeps emphasizing the common beliefs they have in the Trinity and about Jesus and all these theological things. And Joe, yeah, we're on board. Yeah. And then he moves to the gospel, and it actually has, not that you win people psychologically, it's the Spirit's work to turn the lights on, no doubt about it, with the truth. But it does get him in a good mode, maybe, for being open to listening.
Right. By the way, Steve, I would put a slight twist on your question. That question's an evangelism explosion question, but I once heard it stated differently. Our board member, Bernie Hunsaker, and a shout out to Bernie and Julie, and also to Donnie and Bonnie Pressler at Grace Bible Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Bernie's mom, June Blackwell, was a great evangelist. And when she was like 80, she used to go into all these nursing homes and witness to the nurses and witness to the patients. She witnessed to this one nurse, talked to her about the promise of everlasting life. And so she said, do you believe that? And she said, yes, I do. And so she said, well, what's true of you? She says, I'm saved. So she said, so what happens if 40 years from now, you've stopped going to church and you haven't been to church in 10 years and you're an alcoholic, you die as an alcoholic, and you're not repentant, where would you go? She said, well, I'd go to hell. She said, let's go back. You don't get it, because what he promises is if you believe in Jesus today, then you're guaranteed forever that you're in his family. You can't lose that.
All right, so we're praying. We're asking this question. Are you sure?
Yeah.
What else?
Well, on prayer, just a little bit more. I've got a friend who's a very strong Calvinist, one of the sweetest Christian-type guys I've ever met. He's an elder, just a Christian gentleman, successful businessman and all this. I love him. I really love him as a friend. But I sent a recent sermon to him, and he just, you know, quickly dismissed it out of hand that, you know, I believe, and then he listed these Calvinistic, fatalistic beliefs that God's elect people before time and blah,
yeah,
blah, blah. There's no free will, etc. So I'm praying about what my response should be. Because a key verse in all of our evangelizing, I think, at the forefront should be 2 Timothy 2:24, which says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all and able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them a repentance. Here, it might mean change of mind, but it doesn't have to. A repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. There's a couple of key aspects there we always should abide by, being gentle and humble, not combative and argumentative.
I love that point. So we're praying, but we're also being sure not to be combative. We're not here to, we shouldn't evangelize by arguing with people and picking fights. That's not what we're doing. A lot of people think that's what evangelism is.
And we're using the right scripture. How many people, when they evangelize, go to James 2:14? And that's their evangelistic verse. Or they go to Hebrews 6 for their evangelistic verse. Or they're going to Philippians 2:12. We ought to go to a verse that says that the one who believes in Jesus will never perish but has everlasting life. There's lots of those verses. Over 100. Steve's mentioned 150.
So, I mean, what if you get resistance in your church? Or from anyone that you're evangelizing, what should you do next? Should you pursue that conversation until they do get it, or do you move on, or what?
Okay, in a similar situation, we had a guy at our church who didn't like eternal rewards. I speak on eternal rewards quite a bit because it's important, namely because people conflate those passages with the gospel. this guy's off, in my opinion, way off, and we had some long emails back and forth, friendly, of course. But I think at some point you've got to just let it rest and depend on the Spirit to do His work in their heart. You've done what you can, as gently, hopefully, and lovingly as you can.
Yeah, and another thing, the pastor and the deacons and the elders and the Sunday school teachers are all preaching Lordship Salvation.
Right.
If they are, guess what kind of church you're in? It's a Lordship Salvation church.
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't go to a Lordship Salvation church and expect that they're teaching anything other than that, and it's not fair for you to go there and be a disruptive influence. You should find a church that teaches the word accurately, if not start one, but don't. I wouldn't go to a Roman Catholic church and try to disrupt their services or disrupt anything. I wouldn't go to a Calvinist church, try to disrupt. It wouldn't be godly to do that.
That's true. And I wish that we could have some sub-branch within the GES community that emphasizes how absolutely easy it is to start a church.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're all equipped as believers to be able to do it, even the youngest believer of us. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Start a Lord's Supper meeting, a Bible study with the gospel being central.
So you don't need to split a church. Any other final thoughts on how to share your faith with Lordship Salvation person?
I don't want to sound harsh on this. This is just my opinion. It's just for me, maybe, my personal feelings. Sometimes I try to be friends with Lordship people, and I might try and share with them, I pray about it. But there's a whole unreached world out there that never heard the gospel once.
Mm.
You know, Patton in World War II used to go around towns because they weren't strategic to get to the town that was important in battle because these other towns would just die out. And I think we need to be strategic. Maybe you have a calling to go specifically to preachers or Lordship people. But for me, sometimes I think it might be best to invest my time in people that are open to the gospel.
That is a great point. Look for the people who are open. Because again, like you say, God is working to bring people to faith in Christ. So look, try to discern where God is working and go there. Well, thanks for those thoughts, Steve. We're going to continue our conversation in the next episode. But for now, we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about Lordship Salvation and how it might affect your church. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.